Recently, I have not been able to get enough of movies in the thriller genre. And when I say thriller, people all have their own definitions for what classifies as different types of movies. But for me, a thriller are those high stakes, life or death, intense situation type movies that are a little bit more plausible than horror movies because they don't usually feature demonic creatures or paranormal or supernatural entities or possessions or curses or fantastical things. They are more grounded in reality, and their antagonists aren't usually trolls or things like that. They are psycho killers and people who aren't quite right in the head. So the thriller that I've chosen to watch is Ricochet from 1991, and the reason that I chose it is because it has a great cast. The two that caught my eye were Denzel Washington and John Lithgow, and they're the leads of the movie, so I figured, how could this be bad? Denzel Washington plays Nick Stiles, who's a young hotshot cop. Very early on in the movie, he comes across John Lithgow's character, who has just gone on a killing spree and is trying to make his getaway. Unfortunately, Denzel's too smart and cunning, and he catches him. From there, their lives change, but in very different ways. Denzel Washington's life changes because he goes through law school, graduates, and quickly moves up, becoming the assistant district attorney in whatever big city this movie takes place in. I forget. John Lithgow, however, as you can probably expect, after murdering all these people, he is stuck in prison, a fitting place for such an individual. That doesn't sit right with him, mainly because no one wants to be in prison, but also because he needs to seek his revenge on Nick Stiles. Yes, it's very much a revenge movie where the antagonist feels wronged by the protagonist. It's sometimes the other way around, like Payback or John Wick or The Equalizer, another Denzel Washington movie. But in this case, John Lithgow wants to get out so he can kill Nick Stiles. And I forget John Lithgow's character's name. It's one of those stereotypical serial killer names, and the fact that it's always three names. It's something like Earl Thomas Brown or something like that. It's three names. It's supposed to be grounded in reality because it's a thriller, but to be totally honest with you, it's a little bit ridiculous. The reason why is because no one believes Denzel Washington once John Lithgow gets out and starts terrorizing him. And as much as it's a shortcoming of the movie, it's kind of interesting to see it play out like this. Instead of just blatantly try and hunt Denzel and his family down, John Lithgow's character takes a very, very strategic approach. He wants to do all these things to ruin Nick Stiles' life, but he wants to make it appear as if he is not doing it. To make this point even stronger, so no one will believe Denzel Washington, no one will believe Nick Stiles, he fakes his own death. So everyone thinks John Lithgow's character is dead, and all this horrible stuff that starts happening to Denzel, they think he's making it up. So his co-workers in the DA's office, his family, they start to think he's losing his mind. John Lithgow's character could not be happier. He's trying to orchestrate the slow destruction of this man's soul. One of the things that brings it down is I don't think that it would be that hard to eventually get on Denzel's side. Why is everyone fighting this guy who's such an upstanding member of the community? Why are they so hesitant to believe him? Why are they so convinced that this psycho didn't fake his own death? He was good enough to escape from prison. Why wouldn't he be good enough to fake his death and trick everybody? So it's a little frustrating no one believes Denzel Washington. It's also a little implausible that Lithgow would care this much about revenge. He is so single-mindedly set on it. And I get that the movie wouldn't exist if that didn't happen, but it's the first time in recent memory that I've been kind of bothered by how simplistic and dumb it was that one of these characters, one of these antagonists, was so hell-bent on satisfying their revenge, getting payback. As you can expect, it becomes a cat-and-mouse game between John Lithgow trying to ruin Denzel's life and Denzel trying to figure out some way to stop this from happening and ultimately stop Lithgow for good. It is a good movie. It's exciting. It's got really, really exciting music. I forget who the composer was that did it, but it's someone famous, someone whose name you'd recognize. But it couldn't help me from just realizing how ludicrous some of the stuff that happens was, mainly because it's stuff that's been done poorly in other movies so much that it's just painfully cliche here. For instance, there's a scene, Denzel has set a trap for Lithgow's character. And he goes to all the trouble of keeping himself hidden to expose Lithgow and leave him in the open. Then for no reason at all, he exposes himself totally in the open to gunfire and possible death and harm. For what? Just so the movie can have a gratuitous action sequence. All this careful planning that was working totally well, ruined because he had to come out and spout some typical cliche Hollywood movie nonsense. At the same time, though, I have to say, there were some intentionally hilarious cheesy one-liners for all the ones that were in there that were supposed to be serious that came off laughable. So it is amusing in that sense, whether it's the parts that are so bad they're good, or the parts that are just laughing at themselves. It's a good popcorn flick in general, although you do have to have that high suspension of disbelief. It's one of those movies where the protagonist, where Nick Stiles, he needs to clear his name of this one crime, but in the process, he goes about breaking like 1,000 other crimes, like blowing up buildings, possibly harming the people around him, causing all sorts of damage and destruction to the city. And yet, right after he defeats Lithgow's character at the end, no joke, every single one of the dozen cops who like swarm on the scene, as you can expect, they literally don't even look at him. He's like a ghost. I thought I was watching that buddy cop comedy Heart Condition in which he does play a spirit because, again, it's like they don't even see that he's there. This guy has just broken all these other crimes, but because it was motivated by clearing his name, he's somehow forgiven. I hate when that happens, and this was another case of a movie where that happens. I get it. It's wonderful that he's finally absolved himself, but he does have to take responsibility for all the shit he did just to get to that point. Another thing, another scene, I don't want to give away too much of this movie, but another scene that I took note of because it was so ridiculous. Lithgow's character engineers a blackout at Denzel's house so that he can pose as a member of the power company and steal his way in there. I won't tell you what he wants to do in his house, but he wants to get into his house while Denzel's not home, which means there's just a babysitter there with the kids. The lights go off. The babysitter thinks that Lithgow is from the power company when he shows up, so she lets him in. That part I don't have a problem with. I would let a guy from the power company in too if I had called the power company and my lights weren't working. It was a pretty smart plan on his part. Unless the actual guy from the power company shows up, but I guess the scriptwriters didn't really worry too much about that. Also, I didn't think about this at the time. Wouldn't it be weird to the babysitter that everyone else still had power? Again, I'm maybe nitpicking, maybe I wouldn't notice that myself, but I'm just thinking of things that were a little ridiculous this movie. But Lithgow shows up dressed as the guy from the power company, totally normal. I can accept that she'd let him in. What I can't accept is she lets him into the house, makes him tea, and they like sit there and have tea and crumpets or cookies, they sit there and have a snack or something, while he's like telling them stories and jokes and stuff, before he turns the lights back on. The babysitter is basically exposing other people's kids to a potential psycho in a pitch black environment, and she's not even suspicious of the fact that he's not prioritizing fixing the lights. Even if he is this friendly guy from the electric company, you'd think his mind would be on business first, and then they could celebrate with tea and crumpets in the well-lit home. I just thought that was really weird that the babysitter had no problem just being so welcome and open to this stranger before they even had any sort of feeling of safety with the lights being back on. Other than the movie being a little bit ridiculous, the characters were a little bit undefined or uninteresting. Denzel and Lithgow had a pretty good rivalry. I like Denzel a lot, although they tried to make too much of him too quick. Like, there are just a few quick scenes of exposition where we're supposed to know about his character rather than actually being shown, which is almost the opposite of Lithgow's character's shortcomings. They made him just so ridiculous. They gave him this glassy, broken, scarred-looking eye, so he's kind of creepy-looking, again, adding to my suspicion as to why the babysitter was so comfortable with him. But they just make him a little bit over the top. I understand you have to do that in a movie or else we're going to root for him in a sense. We're not going to hate him the way we should. So they didn't take it too far the way that the last movie I watched, Unlawful Entry from 1992, did with the Ray Liotta character. But I think they could have toned it down a tiny bit. That being said, I got a little bit more of his motivation and who he was through the movie than I did from Nick Stiles, from Denzel's character. So maybe Over the Top worked a little bit better here. I know I bagged on the movie a lot, but it is edgier seat, exciting. I really enjoyed watching it. If I hadn't been so critical in the mood to just be so analytical, I probably would have enjoyed it a little bit more. I'm surprised that I found such fault with such little things where I usually wouldn't. I mean, I'm looking at a list of notes I have on an outline right here, and there's three other things I could mention right here that are also just pretty ridiculous and take a stretch of believability. I don't want to go into them because I think I've made my point, and also I don't want to spoil the whole movie for you. But if you can take some of the things that happen with a grain of salt and you want to see something that's pretty exciting, although a little bit implausible, with characters who straddle the line between believable that you want to root for and just two-dimensional and cartoonish, but it works. It's a decent way to spend an hour and a half. So I'm going to give Ricochet from 1991 a 6 out of 10.